Change Your Mind About You, where we are learning to recognize our divine potential. I'm your host, Kevin Mack, and today we will take a glimpse at human evolution and what it reveals to us about divine purpose. In previous episodes, we likened human beings to seeds with the potential to become full-grown plants. Each seed contains all the biological information within it, that is the potential, to produce a plant similar to the one that generated the seed. We discussed that, and likewise, there exists a similar potential within every human being to become the image of its source, that is, God. At this point, I'm sure a question arises in the minds of many. Can this really be true? Well, what does science tell us about human beings? According to scientific evidence, human beings have been on this planet for some 6 billion years and have evolved over that period of time. Now, I realize for some, the scientific evidence appears to contradict your religious beliefs that God, the divine, created human beings in his image and likeness, as it says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. But I want believers and unbelievers alike to remain open-minded here. Because in this episode, I hope to demonstrate to you that there is no conflict between the scientific evidence pointing to evolution and the creation story, in particular, as it applies to human beings. So let's start with what scientists mean by evolution. According to an article from the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History, titled Introduction to Human Evolution. Evolution is defined in the following way, quote, "The process of evolution involves a series of natural changes that cause species, populations of different organisms, to arise, adapt to the environment, and become extinct," end quote. That same article goes on to explain, quote, "Most scientists currently recognize some 15 to 20 different species of early humans. Scientists don't always agree, however, about how these species are related or which ones simply died out. Scientists also debate over how to identify and classify particular species of early humans and about what factors influence the evolution and extinction of each species," end quote. Okay, so we have a description of what evolution is and some of the debates going on in the scientific community over classification and influences on evolutionary processes. But during these different periods of evolution, scientists have drawn some other conclusions. From another article, also from the Smithsonian, titled 6 Million Years of Human Evolution, it states, quote, "One of the earliest defining human traits, bipedalism, the ability to walk on two legs, evolved over 4 million years ago. Other important human characteristics, such as a large and complex brain, the ability to make and use tools, and the capacity for language, developed more recently. Many advanced traits, including complex symbolic expression, art, and elaborate cultural diversity, emerged mainly during the past 100,000 years. The beginnings of agriculture and the rise of first civilizations occurred within the past 12,000 years, end quote. So we can see how humanity has advanced through evolution over a period of several million years. However, other questions arise here. Will human evolution ever end? Is it possible for humanity to devolve, that is, to become more primitive? Science has deduced from the evidence that evolution of human beings and all other species will not end, and that devolution, becoming more primitive, is actually impossible and not supported by the scientific evidence. So now, let's go back. What can we glean from this brief look at what the scientific community has learned about human evolution and evolution in general? Well, there are a number of characteristics. Let's go through them. I have five here. First, evolution involves natural changes that take place in a species over time. Second, due to natural changes, these natural changes, various forms of species arise, adapt to the environment, and eventually become extinct. Third, after the extinction of the previous form of a given species, a new and more advanced form of the same species takes its place. Four, evolution is an ongoing process and will not end. And finally, fifth, it's impossible for a species to devolve or become more primitive. So we can deduce from these five characteristics that each evolutionary period is cyclical. Species come to stay around for a while, and then they go, only to be replaced by a more advanced life form. Then the cycle repeats. Such cycles are well known to us in creation. Think of the seasons of the year: winter, spring, summer, and autumn. And then the cycle repeats. Each day goes from light to darkness, and then back to light again, to repeat. There are cycles of life: birth, childhood, adulthood, aging, sickness, and death. There are also menstrual cycles in women of childbearing age. Weather operates in cycles which correspond to the seasons. Many businesses, in fact, out there in the world operate in cycles. The very nature of creation is in large part cyclical. King Solomon wrote about the cyclical nature of creation in Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Solomon writes there, "The sun rises and the sun sets, and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever turning on its course." Verse 7, "All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again." The nature of creation, my friends, is cyclical because we live in the realm of time. Solomon wrote about this as well in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. He wrote there, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." Then he goes through a lengthy list of apparent opposites, all coming around in their time. And among them, a time to tear down and a time to build up. My friends, we live in a universe governed by time. And the nature of time is cyclical. Thus, it makes perfect sense that the process of human evolution, which operates within the confines of time, is also subject to the constraints of time, cycles. In fact, modern science recognizes four stages, that is, cycles, of human evolution. These cycles go like this, according to an article from study.com. Quote, there are four stages of human evolution. Over time, Australopithecus evolved into Homo habilis. Homo habilis evolved into Homo erectus, which evolved into Homo neanderthalensis. Finally, Homo neanderthalensis evolved into Homo sapiens. End quote. Now, my friends, I want to take issue with one word in that quote. In that last sentence, the word finally, as it applies to Homo sapiens. Why do I take issue with that word finally here? As we have already established, the nature of time is cyclical, and evolution operates within the confines of time, and therefore must also be cyclical. We have also learned that evolution does not have an end. Homo sapiens, then, is not the end of human evolution. It is merely another stage in the evolutionary process, in the same way as Homo neanderthalensis was. So, the question now arises, what will Homo sapiens evolve into? Here, Solomon both prepares us for and hints at what the next level of human evolution may be. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 10. He leads off this way, I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He starts this description with the burdens laid upon the human race. Some examples here are the cycles of birth, growth, aging, sickness, and death. There is also, in our time, environmental destruction taking place in epic proportions. That's affecting the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the land that feeds us. In fact, over 783 million people worldwide face chronic hunger each day. 26% of the world's population does not have access to safe drinking water, and 46% lack access to safe sanitation. These are basic needs, my friends. Indeed, the human race today, as much as at any time, suffers from many burdens. However, Solomon ends this discourse with great hope for the future. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Think about that now. Why is it that human beings have this burning inward desire to extend their lives and live happily and healthily? Is this not what is behind all the scientific advances in the fields of health and medicine over the past 100 years? That burning inward desire to live and live well? If eternity is present deep within Homo sapiens, but Homo sapiens at its current point in its evolution is not eternal, but rather mortal, and evolution does not end, doesn't it make sense that there will be at least another stage coming in the evolution of humanity? My friends, I want you to ponder that question deeply until our next episode. So until then, may the grace and blessings of God Almighty be upon you. May the Holy One bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. and bring you peace. Amen.